Good morning. Once again, give the Lord a hand clap of praise, will you? Are you glad to be in the house of God? Amen. We have been in a series. We got back into it last Sunday, and we're talking about the last days. Say the last days. Before we begin with prayer, just kind of a couple ground rules. I like boundaries, so I understand what's our goal, what's our purpose, where we're at. We believe around here at Hope Church that we should challenge everything. Everything should be challenged. I don't care if I say it, some guy in a person or a woman of God on TV says it. It does not matter. What matters is what does the Word of God say. And so we have to continually go back and challenge. And this doesn't happen a lot of times. And I believe that's what has hurt the church world is people become, excuse me for saying it, if it comes across offensively. But typically in the church world, people become very naive and gullible. That they begin to buy into whatever's popular, buy into whatever has been said. In fact, the Bible tells us that when people are changing their intent and their understanding, their revelation, they're always wavering, that they can't ever receive anything from God. Because if you believe God heals, and next week you believe God doesn't heal, and the next week you believe God heals, and next week after that you believe God does, you're wavering because all the different opinions come into you. We need to be grounded on the truth of the Word of God, not grounded on the teachings of any one individual or any organization. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We don't need to be foundationally based on doctrine that is on any denomination. We need to keep challenging every thought with, where is that in the Bible? Ask people, they'll be bold to say their comment and just say, show me in the Bible. I want to see that for myself. And that's a great test. That's a great test. Because in the last days, the Bible, we'll get into this later in a few more weeks, there's a character, individual referred to the Antichrist, and he'll deceive many with lying wonders. People can be deceived because what they see and not what they can discern. People will be deceived by what they see because they don't have the spiritual ability to discern. And part of spiritual maturity, the Bible tells us, is that we have developed ourselves where we can discern between good and evil. Come on, somebody. We're going to jump in before we get into the notes. And so there's a tendency because the power of deception is that you are not aware that you're deceived. You can take anybody that has been deceived and say, why did you get deceived? And their answer would be, I didn't realize I was deceived. Because the power of deception is that we're not aware that we're deceived. And that's why we need to, when we are in darkness, we need the truth of the light of God's word. Psalms 119, the unfolding or the entrance of his word gives light. When the light of God's word comes in, it brings with clarity everything in the situation. It's like waking up in the middle of the night. And you walk across the room in the dark, and your eyes are all blurred, and you step on something, and you almost fall. Well, it's because you're walking in the dark. But when you turn the light on, you can step over those things that are set to trip you up. Amen. We don't have to be offended. We don't have to be sidetracked. We don't have to be redirected because of the enemy throwing a dart of deception towards you that caused you to be moved emotionally or thinking, oh, this is the way I see it. This must be the way it is. God wants you to be able to know and to discern.
Amen.
Faith is not ignorance. Faith is a revelation from the Word of God that you are obeying the instruction of God. Not because someone told you you should do something, but because the Word of God has been revealed with understanding. Understanding, Matthew 13, that goes into your heart. And now you have a conviction and you know for yourself what the Word of God says.
Yes, yes.
Can I get a better amen than that? And so we challenge you to challenge everything. Again, always be open. That's a rhythm of my life. I never walk in and saying, I know it all, and this is the way it is, and it'll never change. I'm always open. Lord, speak to my heart. Show me from your word. I was just sharing with my family the other day. I came across a verse that, for some reason, it never caught my attention. I love learning.
Right.
I love learning. We should always be learning. And so a few of the boundaries that we have in this series is, one, when you talk about prophetic events, there's always a certain level of uncertainty.
Right.
I have studied this topic on and off for many years, many being 30, 40 years, and I'm telling you that I have studied and read the books of some brilliant people, and they disagree with each other on certain points. So you have to be comfortable with the tension of some things. There is a level of uncertainty and there are options, or you can gravitate, this is the way I see it. But the priority is not for us in this series for us to agree on certain topics, but for us to maintain and keep the truth that Jesus is number one. That's the thing we have to agree on, okay? That's the thing you have to agree on. That's, if you don't agree on who Jesus is and the way to salvation, there's a big issue in the relationship. But if you don't agree on if the rapture happens, if the rapture's in the Bible, are we pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, or pan-trib, and we'll talk about that later. If you're like, well, I disagree on that, it's okay. You can still have a relationship with somebody. Because you're married to somebody you don't agree with on every topic. Can I get an amen? So our goal is not to predict. Our goal is to prepare. It's not to overreach, but to teach what the Lord has shown us in this season. In this season. Let's begin with prayer. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to study your word. I thank you for the innate blessing that comes from studying your word. For as we continue in your word, Jesus, you said we shall know the truth and the truth will set us free. So I speak freedom, liberty, into the hearts and minds and lives of every person under the sound of my voice. And we give you, Lord, all the praise. And everybody said, amen. Amen and amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm going to start today on the topic of the rapture. Say the rapture. This is a word that's not in the Bible, but it's a topic that many people in the Bible believe. And I don't know where you stand on the topic, but I want you to be open, take notes, challenge it. Challenge it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let me give you a little history of it. What was going on in the Corinthian church during this time that Paul's trying to deal with is that when Jesus told them that he was coming back soon, they expected him to come back very, very soon. Have you ever had it where God spoke to you or you understood the scripture a certain way and then you begin to see that God was seeing it a little differently than the way you were seeing it? So they had it in their mind, and they knew that when Jesus died, buried, and was resurrected, and they saw his resurrected body, and he said, I'm coming back soon, they expected him to come back quick and usher in his kingdom. They were ready. They were ready. And something happened. He didn't come back that first year. He didn't come back the second year. He didn't come back the way they expected him to come back. And then something unusual happened. People begin to just naturally die as a part of the life cycle. And so now the Corinthian church was running into a problem because now their question is, if he comes back, what about the people who are already dead? What do we do with this? What is the problem we're having with this is that we don't know what, we have this group, they're all waiting, and now some people have died. And so Paul's trying to deal with that, and I'm bringing that up for specific reasons. So if you have your Bibles, again, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 42, Paul says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. Because they were afraid at this time that there was no resurrection. It is sown, the physical body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Verse 49, and as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Stop for a second. What is happening, what we have to understand, is when Jesus died on the cross for your sins, and you're saved, and you're going to heaven, that included, because it is the Bible uses the word redemption. You might understand it from the perspective of redeeming something. It means to purchase or to buy back. You might redeem a coupon. It is a financial transaction. And the Bible tells us that. Again, challenge it. The Bible says that we're not purchased with flesh, with corruptible things like silver and gold, but we are purchased with the precious blood of Jesus. So you know how to identify the value of something is by the price of something. You might see it and not think it's valuable till you look at the price tag. Have you ever done that? You're walking through a store, or maybe you're looking at clothes, or you're glancing at a car. You're like, that's okay. And then you look down at the price tag and say, OMG. Really, for this? Because price usually defines value. And you were purchased not with silver and gold. You were purchased with the precious blood of the Son of God. You were purchased by the blood of Jesus. And that transaction not only includes your spirit. Now, you're a three-part person. You are a spirit, you live in a body, and you have a soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions. And so when Jesus purchased you by the blood of Jesus, it was for all of you. Say, all of me. Okay? So you, when you first get saved, you are born again. That's your spirit. Then you have to renew your mind, Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Paul tells the church to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. What is that? That is the development of your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. And your body has to be put under, has to be dealt with. Your physical body. Though it ages, one day it's going to be glorified. Did you hear me? So when you get to heaven, some people say, well, I look like the way I look now. Yes, but even better. This time you'll be pretty. Come on, somebody. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm happy for you. Look to your neighbor and say, I'm happy for you. Come on, somebody. This is important to understand. And we see some examples of a glorified body through the resurrection of Jesus. And the purpose of this is not just to say to do it, but the purpose of this is because you cannot, are you ready for this? You cannot handle the goodness of God. With sin in your life. You cannot handle the goodness of God. He is so good. That's why Jesus stopped when they asked him and said, good master, good teacher, how do I inherit eternal life? And he stopped him and said, wait a minute, there's none good but one. God is so good that Jesus was bold to say, if you which are parents, if you which are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? He's not saying you're bad, but he's saying you compared to the goodness of God, there is no second place. God is so good that you can receive this in the Old Testament. They referred to the glory of God, the goodness of God, as the Hebrew word is kabod, which means the weightiness of God. God is so good, it's heavy. And he's so good that it's so heavy that in your flesh you would collapse. That's why God did not embrace Adam after he fell, because if he would have embraced Adam and brought him to himself after he fell, he would have destroyed humanity. Because he's so good. He is so good. See, our King James says that Adam and Eve were naked. They're aware they were naked. I don't believe that they were naked, and I'll give you a couple references, and you can disagree with this. I don't believe that they were naked because Psalm says, what is man that you are mindful of him, the Son of Man, that you have clothed him or crowned him. It all means the same if you go to the Hebrew. You have crowned him or clothed him with glory and honor. We try to redirect light. I'm telling you that God is light, and he has the ability to shape it. That they were clothed with the goodness of God, the glory of God. And one day, God said, I'm going to bring it back to the place I wanted it to be. One day, I'm going to redo what the enemy meant for evil. I'm going to turn it for good. And I'm going to do something that it will be so mind-boggling that they do not understand. The enemy thought he was winning, but he's going to lose. The enemy thought he was ahead, but he's really behind. The Bible says that God looks from heaven and laughs at his enemies because even the wisdom of man is the foolishness to God, because he sees the end as equal as the beginning. The devil does not. We have built the devil up like he's some amazing thing. He is a created being, and the word of God tells us that one day he will stand before the great white throne of God, and the nations of the world will see Lucifer bow his knee, and you know what they're going to say about the devil? They're going to say, is this the one that has held nations captive in fear? He's not so intimidating. His intimidation is deception and the lies in your mind that he whispers. The tactic of fear. God is the one who's the creator, not the devil. God knows everything. The devil doesn't know everything. He's a created being. The devil does know that he's here for a short time, because demons even cried out with Jesus on the earth, we know who you are. Are you here to torment us before the time? They know there is a time frame. And Matthew 24 says only the Father knows, not even the angels in heaven, not the fallen angels, no devil, only the Father knows. And there is a time where he said, time's up. And the devil can't stop it. But he's going to try to hurt God by reaching and attacking and taking with him every one of his children that he created. God doesn't send people to hell. Hell is for the devil. People send themselves to hell because Jesus paid the price. And it's taken humanity, man, years to mess the message up and create weird doctrines of devils that have never been intended, that are not based out of the Word of God. Because he's freed you from sin. Not free to sin, free from sin, Romans 6:1. He's freed you to worship. He's freed you from the power of the enemy. Say, I'm free. I got to say that to somebody. Say, I'm free. I want you to hear this. Say, I'm free. I'm free to worship God. I'm free from the power of the devil. Matthew 18:18, Jesus has given the church the keys of the kingdom, and what you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Shout, I'm free. Say, I'm the victor. I'm more than enough because of Jesus. I'm telling you, you are the body of Christ. You are the head and not the tail. You walk with supreme authority. You are a child of God. And Romans 8 says, creation groans waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. You can be a child of God and not the maturity of a son and daughter of God, because a child of God, the Bible says, owns everything through inheritance, but as long as they are immature, are under the same rules as a servant. You have authority. Quit crying about the devil. You have authority. Quit being intimidated by the enemy. Quit being intimidated by the roar of a giant in the valley. You serve the living God, and he is well able to take care of you. Be bold. Joshua 1, 6 through 10. All I want you to do is be strong and courageous. I'll handle it. See, I don't want to get ahead of myself. But you have to understand, and we'll get into this later, you, the church, not the building, not a service, men and women of faith, you are the restrainer that keeps the very Antichrist from taking his position of power. It's not a building. It's the men and women of God who are willing to stand up and say yes or no, permit or will not tolerate. That's unacceptable or that's acceptable. And he cannot take. And the enemy's been trying to position this Antichrist spirit into a person from generation to generation, because the devil does not know when. And he keeps pushing. He keeps pushing, wondering if this is the time that he can bring his Antichrist, not only against, but instead of, in the place to try to take the place of Jesus. And he's trying, and the spirit in the world has been all the way back to Jesus said the spirit of the Antichrist is present. Why? Because the devil's always trying. I gotta get back to my notes. We gotta think about that. So Jesus, his resurrected body, because we have to have a resurrected body to experience all the greatness and the goodness of God. Amen. His resurrected body, he could appear and disappear. Luke 24, 31, John 20, verse 19, and John 20, verse 26. He could walk through walls. How cool is that? Yeah. Not only could walk through walls, but the Bible says then he could sit down in the chair. Now, you got to think about that for a second, because you could say, oh, he was a spirit. He could walk through walls. And how did that chair hold him up? I'm telling you, the things of God are not like over here and science is over there. Science is starting to learn what the Bible's been teaching us. I believe he was able to change the speed of his molecular structure. Amen. He could be seen and felt. John chapter 20, Matthew 28, and Luke 24. He told the disciples, he told Thomas, here's my hand. See that mark? See that side mark? Put your hand there. Come on, touch this. When you get to heaven, you are going to be the best you've ever seen. You got to pray, Lord, let there be a mirror, because I want to make sure I see and make sure God. Come on. I mean, your physical body is going to be glorified.
Yes.
And then he could sit down, and the Bible says that he could eat, Luke 24, verse 41. But the problem with the resurrected body for us, if you look at the logical linear thing of time, is that for you to be resurrected, you must die.
Right?
Because people who are living don't need to be resurrected. It's people who are dead that need to be resurrected. And so there's a problem here, and Paul refers to it as a mystery. Say mystery. Continue in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Other translation says we will not all die. But we will all be changed. Say, we will all be changed. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, we're going to get into those later, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. In a twinkling of an eye, in a twinkling of an eye, in a twinkling of an eye, there's actually a scientific mathematical speed to that. I remember years ago reading a report that they had figured out and were able to, because the farther the strongest telescope goes, they can see because light continues to move. Light doesn't ever stop.
Right.
And so if you can see farther back, you can see the origin of that light where it came. And they had calculated somehow with a strong telescope scientifically that creation happened in a twinkling of an eye. Now, some refer to it as the Big Bang. I refer to it as the Big God. Who spoke, and in a twinkling of an eye, it was stated, in the twinkling of an eye, the universe was created. The only problem with the Big Bang theory is you got to ask somebody, what was the point of zero? Oh, two atoms ran into each other. Well, who created the two atoms?
Right.
It takes more faith to believe in the Big Bang theory than it does to believe in God. Because Genesis 1 is very specific. In the beginning, which means in the timeless past, God. Before time, God. Before it started, God. What is that mystery? The mystery is resurrection without death. How? The word rapture. Say rapture.
Rapture.
Now, the word rapture is not in the King James Bible. I'll concede to that. But neither is the word Trinity. There's a lot of words that we use in the church that are not in the Bible per se, but the subject is in the Bible.
Right.
As we just read. So where does the concept come from? 1 Thessalonians. Are you still with me?
Yes.
1 Thessalonians chapter 4. There's a lot of verses, I understand, but it's all good. Verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant. Say, God doesn't want me to be ignorant.
God doesn't want me to be ignorant.
That's why I love Matthew 24 when people misquote, no man knows the day or the hour. We talked about that already. We'll keep bringing that back. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not. So he's talking about the people who are dead, asleep, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep or dead. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and there will be, we'll talk more later, the difference between the rapture and the second coming. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. We'll talk more about the feast and the Feast of Trumpets and how the Jews have been practicing something they did not understand, and it all prophetically points to the future of God's plan. 17, then we which are alive, notice, and the trump of God and the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. Say caught up. Say caught up. That word is harpozo, 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 which means to catch it away, to be caught up, which is what in the Latin is where we get the word rapture. Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. They were so concerned that their family members had died, had missed what God had in store. But he's saying, don't worry, those of us who are alive, we're not going to hinder those who've already died. Because when the trumpet is blown,
The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we, which are alive, will be caught up.
Yeah.
Have you ever wondered why they didn't happen at the same time? Why there's a separation of those who are dead in Christ will rise first, and then we, which are alive, will be caught up? Isn't that interesting? I like asking questions. Why, God? Why is this? It's always good to ask questions. In fact, in the Jewish study, in the Jewish style of learning, education, they weren't asking questions looking for answers. Their style, which is the way we do in America, their style is to ask a question looking for a better question. It's okay. It's great. It's okay to ask questions.
Yes.
You say, why is it separated? We'll get into that later. Caught up. Say caught up.
Caught up.
That means to snatch out, to seize, to be snatched to the clouds, to be raptured. The rapture, an event that'll happen in a twinkling of an eye.
Yeah.
And we'll get into this later. And please, if you disagree with something, that's okay. I love you. Love me. Let's pray for each other. And it's okay. But I believe in the next weeks, we're going to talk about what happens. Where is this in the timeline? And there's a specific scripture in Revelation that refers to this being broken down. Where is this in the timeline? Is this before the tribulation? This during, halfway through the tribulation, this at the end of the tribulation, or is this not at all? When does it happen? We're going to get into that next week. What's going on while, after this, what happens to the world? I like to think of it, I'm a very visual type of person, so imagery. Have you ever seen a three-story condo, three-story apartment complex? We're going to look into and see that the moment the rapture happens, it's like three stories. There is something happening on each story, on each level.
Right.
At one level, there's a party going on. That's the top level.
Yeah.
At one party, there is a testing for last chance repentance. And on one level, the lowest level, judgment,
yes. The
wrath of God.
Yeah.
We're going to get into that. We're going to get into the difference and understanding the concepts of threes. Oh, I love this. We got to go. I'm so excited about this. I'll tell you the whole series, and then we'll just stop and through. Because there's the symbolism of threes, the symbolism that's in the feast. Because you realize that Jews believe that there is three types of people, those who are right, those who are wrong, and those who are in between. Revelation refers to three types of people: those who are hot, those who are cold, those who are lukewarm. In the feasts, which are celebrations that God had Israel do, there's three that were tied to harvest. And we're going to see the symbolism, how they're all connected. I'm excited. I got to stop because I'm just excited. Because the rapture will happen. And we need to make sure that we stay ready, not out of fear.
Right.
Because God is the God of reward. God's not looking to punish humanity. He's looking to reward you. He said, I'm coming soon and my reward is with me.
Yeah.
He didn't say, I'm coming soon and I got an axe and I'm going to start chopping people up. No, he said, I am coming soon and my reward is with me. You serve a good God.
Yeah.
And that's what we talked about last week, is to understand, before we get into Revelation, understand the heart of the Father. Tribulation is not just to punish people, it's to give people a last chance.
Right.
And we'll talk about who those people are. Last chance opportunity to make things right. Because the heart of the Father wants everyone, the Bible says, that none perish,
right. But
all come to the saving knowledge of God.
Yeah.
We are in, with no question, no doubt, we get this out of Acts, we are in the last days.
Yeah.
I would go so far as say we are in the last of the last days. I'm not going to predict a day or an hour. That would be foolish. Just time zones alone messes that up. But I'm telling you, we are close. Have you ever thought in America that we would have churches being closed down and make it illegal to worship? And yet encourage, and don't, now listen, I'm not against protest, but encourage people to protest in the streets by the thousands, but tell people that you can't worship. And if you think this is only about a virus, and I'm not saying that the COVID don't exist. If you think this is all about health and a virus, I'm here to tell you there's more to this game. There's so much more to this game. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but you got to be able to say, wait a minute, there is more to this. And start asking questions and not believe everything that comes down the... Did you hear me?
Yes.
It's time that we stay ready.
Yes.
It's important that we stay ready.
Yes.
And I remember growing up in the church world thinking, oh, I can live any way I want. And, you know, I know enough about the Bible now that I know not to take the mark. And I'll just go into the tribulation and get my head cut off. Listen, if you can't serve Jesus in the season of the church age and grace, you cannot serve Jesus when they're cutting people's heads off. Did you hear me? The goal is let's get ready, let's stay ready, let's be ready.
Amen.
For he is coming soon. Would you bow your head and close your eyes with no one moving around? Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you do not have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm not asking if you know about God. I'm not asking you to join a church, denomination, or religion. I'm asking you this one question. Is Jesus Christ real to you today? In a way that you know for yourself, the way you process, the way you experience, that you know without any question, shadow, or doubt, that Jesus is real and that he's your Lord and Savior. I'm here to tell you that if you don't know him that way, you can. Salvation is one of the greatest miracles. Jesus said in Revelation 3, I stand at the door and I knock, and if you hear my voice and open up, I'll come in. This is not jumping through hoops. This is not rules. I'm not into religion. I define religion as man's rules to get to God. I'm into a real relationship with Jesus Christ. The reason we do what we do is not to become righteous. The reason we do what we do is because we are righteous because of the blood of Jesus. We don't love people so that we can say that we love people. We love people because we've received the love of God. He's working through us, helping us to live way beyond our best. That's what it's about. Not your perfection, his perfection. If you don't know him, you can. With every head bowed and every eye closed, this simple prayer, Romans tells us, with the heart man believes in a righteousness with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. A simple short prayer can have an eternal, life-changing impact. If you believe it, Romans 10, if you believe it. Pray this prayer. If you don't know him, pray this prayer with me. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I repent of all my sins. I turn to you today. I believe in my heart, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth in the flesh, died on a cross for my sins, was buried for me, and on the third day rose again for me. Because I believe that, I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, wash me in your blood, forgive me, cleanse me, give me a fresh start. Say, Jesus, I don't want a religion. I want a real relationship with you. So I open up the door of my heart, the door of my life, and I invite you in to be my Savior and my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Amen, church. Amen, church. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise.